Welcome to Season 5 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. The Bible has a lot to say about thinking. Thoughts are spiritual events, and they set the direction and determine the destiny of your life. So put on your thinking cap, because this season of the Food for Your Soul podcast is all about thinking, logic, discernment, and being transformed by the renewal of your mind.
In yesterday's podcast, we talked about the importance of discovering a person's argument, extracting the argument from the rhetoric. Usually the rhetoric is this huge, massive pile of words, and people usually aren't very organized in the way they make an argument. Most of the time they just repeat things, arguments, lines that they've heard before, bumper stickers, whatever. And so it's disorganized. It's not this proposition is true, this proposition is true, therefore this must be true. They don't lay it out that way very often. So it takes some doing. Most of the argument is unstated, and so it really takes some doing to extract the argument. And a lot of times it's a dialogue. You have to say, well, are you saying this? Are you saying because this is true, therefore that's true? Is it? And you just ask honest questions, which sometimes even that's difficult because you'll ask honest questions and people will take that as if you're trying to imply something or you're trying to make an argument with your question. And so you just have to tell them, no, I'm trying to understand what you're saying. Are you saying this? So you extract the argument. And one of the best ways to do that is to identify contradictions or seeming contradictions. So when we talk about contradictions, so we're really getting, and I probably should have done this the very first episode in the logic series, because the most fundamental principle of logic is what's known as the law of non-contradiction. The law of non-contradiction, which is basically A cannot equal non-A. Or a statement can't be both true and false. When a person makes a contradiction in their argument, they say A is true, and then a little later they say non-A is true, then they've made a contradiction, or this statement is true, and then later on they make it out that that statement is false. Anytime that happens, then what they're saying is nonsense. Contradictions are nonsense. I'll give you a couple examples. Suppose someone says, the most famous example in when people talk about logic is the statement, I am lying right now. This statement is a lie. If you say that, then is it a lie or is it true? If it's a lie, if I say I'm lying right now and that really is a lie, then what I'm saying is true, right? Which means I'm not lying. But if I said I'm lying and I'm not lying, then I'm lying. See, so it goes back. It seems like it goes round and round. It really doesn't go round and round. It goes nowhere. It's just nonsense. It's just a nonsense statement. It's like saying blah, 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 blah. There's no meaning to it. It seems like a conundrum. It seems like a big mystery, but really it's just misuse of words. It's just like straight. If you just took a bunch of random words and strung them together, they would have no meaning. That's what contradictions are. Or like another example is a married bachelor. What is a married bachelor? Well, it's nothing. It's not. It doesn't mean anything. The word bachelor means unmarried. Word married means not a bachelor. So if you talk about a married bachelor, you're just speaking gibberish like a little baby. So that's the law of non-contradiction. When you hear something in an argument that sounds like a contradiction, and you point it out, and you ask the person, how is that not a contradiction? When they give you their answer, very often that's where they reveal their real argument. I'll give you an example of that in current events. During the COVID lockdown, they were saying we can't gather in groups of more than 10 because it's too much of a health risk. And it's going to cause the pandemic to go wild. And so churches can't convene, small businesses can't operate, and so on. But then when the George Floyd demonstration started, and you saw these pictures of people packed together, thousands and thousands of people just jammed together like sardines, shoulder to shoulder, outdoors, no masks, and so on. There were actually news reports of all these medical experts who were the same ones saying that we can't get together in groups of 10 who are saying this is okay. And when they were pressed on that, said, wait a minute, why is it not okay for a church to get together, but it is okay for this to happen? And their answer came back, well, this is important. This is important. This is race. This has to do with justice. This is just really important. And therefore, it was okay. So, what was their argument really? I mean, technically, it's a contradiction, right? They're saying anything over 10 is too much, and then they're saying thousands is okay. That's a contradiction. But really, it's not a contradiction. What it did, if you point out what seemed like a contradiction, you find out their real argument is there's some risk when you get large groups together, but the risk is worth it in the case of the demonstrations because they're important, and the risk is not worth it in the case of small businesses and churches because, why? Because they're unimportant. Now, they don't say that, but that's implied in their argument. So you can get to the bottom of what they're really saying, what they're really thinking, what they're really arguing when you point out what seems like a contradiction and then you force them to explain how is that not a contradiction. That's where the argument comes out. Now, let me say one other thing about contradictions and non-contradictions. The issue of contradictions is a big deal for us in evangelicalism because we believe in an inerrant Bible, that the Bible is God's Word, and so therefore it has no contradictions. And so critics are always trying to bring up contradictions in the Bible. They say, what about this? And if we find something, if we're just reading ourselves, and we read in one place it says this, another place says that, it's like, wait a minute, that sounds contradictory. And it shakes us because we believe that, if we found a contradiction, we'd have to say, wait a minute, maybe this isn't God's Word. So let me just say this about apparent contradictions in the Bible. No one has ever found a formal contradiction in Scripture. There are apparent ones, but there are no, when I say formal contradiction, I'm talking about a contradiction. You can use the rules of logic to prove that it's a contradiction. That hasn't happened, and here's why. When I gave you the law of non-contradiction, I simplified it. I oversimplified it. I said A cannot equal non-A. The full definition is A cannot equal non-A at the same time in the same respect. Or a statement can't be both true and false at the same time in the same respect. You have to put that ending part on there because there are times when you can say one thing and it's true, and you can say the opposite and it's true if you're using different definitions or different context. For example, suppose I make the statement, I am big. And then I make the statement, I am not big. Now that sounds like a violation of the law of non-contradiction, right? I just said A and then I said non-A. But if the first time I meant I'm big compared to insects, and then the second statement is talking in a different context, it says I'm not big compared to mountains, then both statements are true. Because I said the same words, but I said them in a different respect. I said them with different definitions, with different context. In fact, it's kind of comical. The law of non-contradiction is also known as the law of contradiction. The law of contradiction and the law of non-contradiction are exactly the same thing. And the law says A cannot be non-A. So it seems to contradict its very definition, but it's not a contradiction because when we call it the law of contradiction, and when we call it the law of non-contradiction, we're making those statements in different respects. One from the negative point of view, one of them from the positive point of view, but both saying the same thing. So some of the apparent contradictions in Scripture are like that. You can have a statement like, no one has ever seen God, and then you can have a statement like, we have seen His glory, talking about Jesus, and Jesus is God, and it sounds like a contradiction, but the two statements are made in different respects. When the first one, no one has ever seen God, that's talking about God the Father, who is a spirit. The other one is talking about God the Son, so they're talking about different things, so it's not a formal contradiction. Another time something sounds like a contradiction, but it's not, as when one writer will give certain information, another writer will give different information, but not contradictory information. For example, one writer will say that when Jesus was going out of Jericho, he came across a blind beggar, and it talks about this blind beggar. And then another gospel is talking about, and it says there's two of them, two blind men. Is that a contradiction? No. It would be a contradiction if one of them said there was one, but not two. There was only one. And then the other one said, nope, there are two. Then that would be a contradiction. But it's not a contradiction if one of them mentions two and the other one just mentions one of the two. Doesn't bother mentioning the other one because that's not part of his purpose of the point that he's making. He never says the other guy wasn't there. He just doesn't mention him. That's not a contradiction. In that same account, one gospel says it happened when Jesus was leaving Jericho. The other one says it happened when Jesus was approaching Jericho. That really sounds like a contradiction, but it's not a formal contradiction because both can be true. In fact, one explanation for that is the fact that there were two Jerichos, two cities of Jericho, the ancient site and the new rebuilt site, that were some distance from one another, and Jesus could have been leaving one and going into the other, and the incident happened in between. I don't know if that's exactly what happened or if there's some other explanation, but it can't be shown to be a formal contradiction because there's a possibility that both statements can be true. Same thing with the death of Judas. One gospel says he hung himself, another one says he fell in a field. Well, it's possible that he could have hung himself, the branch broke, or the rope broke or something, and he fell down into the field. So, again, it's not a formal contradiction. So when people point to those apparent contradictions, say, oh, that disproves the Bible. No, it doesn't. In fact, it's actually evidence for the truthfulness of the gospel writers, because one of the ways people who are experts in testimony in court weigh evidence from eyewitnesses is by seeing if there's too much agreement. If you have three different eyewitnesses and they all say the exact same thing in the exact same words in the exact same order, right away they throw that out because they say, oh, these, they colluded. They obviously colluded. People don't just remember things identically like that. And so these people got their story together and just decided this is going to be their story, and so it makes it suspicious, makes you wonder whether they're telling the truth. So people who are experts in testimony in court, they'll listen for that sort of thing, and if they'll hear witnesses describe the same situation, no formal contradictions, but in very different ways from different perspectives, and sometimes kind of hard to piece together exactly what happened, that's exactly what you expect when you have truthful witnesses. So if the gospel writers were making up a story, they wouldn't have had these instances where one mentions one man and the other one mentions two men, or Judas dying one way or dying another way, without throwing in a comment, well, here's the explanation of how this fits with the other one. The fact that you don't have that, they just state it, this is what happened, and they sound very different, but not contradictory, that's evidence in favor. That shows us these are reliable witnesses that are really telling what they remember seeing happen. And the fact that you have so many different writers and so many different contexts, and there are no contradictions in the whole Bible, is astonishing. There can only be a supernatural explanation for that. All right, so that's the law of non-contradiction. Tomorrow, in tomorrow's podcast, we're going to cover what I believe is the most common logical fallacy that people make. At least it's got to be way up there in the top two or three. So I hope you can make it back next time. That's an important one. I'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening. We pray you're finding this season helpful. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you. Just go to the treasuringgod.com website and click on Contact. There's also a giving tab on that site. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always, and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.